arrived late at the studio, or did he start the show too early for you? I know that you were reading there as we went over here.
There were some things we were going over, Wally. Some last minute important items that you wanted to check before you were on the air.
Business matters, things like that.
Yeah. Incidentally, we had a lot of nice comment on the way you handled the commercial yesterday.
Oh, swell. I thought maybe it was a new ride to show business party.
Well, you would. Didn't you start off as an announcer, Wally, and graduate?
I started as an announcer and came into the personal interviewing end of it a little bit later.
And the spot you covered, you know, I remember... some wonderful.
Well, at that time, of course, I hadn't had the operation, and they said my voice was a little bit of a setback of the news.
What was that, your
adenoids? Well, the staff fixed. I feel that I can tackle
big
most any of these little chores you want to hold out commercially.
Yeah, you ought to qualify that. Fixed as best they can be, I think. Probably that's what the doctor
said. What, the commercial?
Yeah.
You're not fixed.
No, the adenoids.
Oh!
Your adenoids are fixed, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But I
well,
was told.
I was afraid of that.
But you did have a good report on it, huh?
Very, very nice. The people who have the account, the agency call and said terrific.
Wonderful. All right.
Got a nice reading, and the way you said certain things, like, oh, really?
Well, I do that on commercials, yeah.
It gives you a very tony effect.
Grave. Down to grave.
Grin.
That's a
grin. Grin.
It's hard to do, but it's the mark of a true professional.
Try rolling your R's. Grin. Yeah. Friends, the Bob and Ray calendars for 1960 are out and in the mail. Those of you, remember, you had to get your order in by last August 15th. We've mailed them. Now, fortunately, they were no sooner in the mail than someone in the office, I think it was Robert Conley, came up and said, Bob and Ray, have you mailed all the calendars?
He was smiling. It wasn't like he was trying to call attention to an error.
Well, I had no idea what was in store. I thought it would be something humorous that had happened probably at the mailing room.
Well, I didn't turn it to it.
Yeah. And then we said, yeah, they're all gone out, Wilbur. So what?
Well, really, said.
And we were caught up in the spirit of the smiling, and we laughed, too.
Well, we sat there for 2 or 3 minutes and laughed.
Well, Wilbur stopped him after he saw us laughing hardly, and he tried to change the pace by saying, well, gentlemen, I hate to throw a pall on this rather jovial meeting, he said, but somebody has just informed me that you forgot that 1960 was a leap year. So that's what's happened. We did. So this year, according to the Barbary calendar, April Fool's Day is March. The 31st,
that will be on a Thursday.
Remember that now. Will you write these down, folks? March 31st is April Fool's Day.
July 4th will be July 3rd.
And Christmas will be the 24th.
Fourth
is the day before, according to the Barbary calendar. And
you're all right in January and February.
Well, you have practically 2 months that are perfect. January is okay. February is all set, except, of course, for that one day. So, really, for the price you paid and all,
actually,
you
think about it, it's only a month before the holiday comes that it makes any difference anyway.
Right. Okay, then? Well, if you have any further questions, you'll be sure and write to Bob, because I've more or less tossed him that.
And you just continue to take Sundays and Mondays off as your days off.
Right.
Bonjour, I am Jacques Leroy, expert on this stereophonic phonograph. I will now clear up this whole subject. S'il vous plaît, listen to ordinary stereo. A girl crossing the street. Eh bien, now on Columbia Stereo 1. Oh, that was a pretty girl crossing the street. Quelle différence! The fantastic Columbia Stereo 1 phonograph gives you all the realism and excitement of a live performance. What in a moment, mademoiselle. Oh, la la. Oh, pardon. You see, only Columbia has exclusive stereo projection. Not just a few separated speakers, I know, but multiple speakers that send interlocking circles of sound through every inch of the room. See the Columbia Phonograph Man 2 Suite. Columbia Stereo 1 Portable start at $39.95. Consoles from $129.95.
Attendez, ma chérie.
Wait for me.
Now it's time to get out of the audience. How would you turn?
I'd love up through because
we
have
another one, and we can all pay back and forth.
Well, good.
Good idea.
Yeah. You want to be first, or shall I be first?
Him.
Could I have a word with you, sir?
Yeah.
It kind of might be fun if we asked some of our audience members today what was the worst Christmas gift they ever received and what was the best thing they ever received.
Glad to remember. You mean including childhood? Because
I don't think that we ever received anything we don't.
I got a terrific pair of cowboy pants when I was a kid with real fur.
That stands out in your memory. But I mean, as an adult, maybe that's the time when it gets a little difficult to pick out. You know.
Well, I think the best one.
It's kind of a sticker. Maybe we should have told you all before it went on the air. Maybe you could have been thinking about it. It would have saved a lot of time. Because
I had a nice sports shirt one time, and it was 2 years ago. The reason I liked it, it fit perfectly, and I liked the design on it. And there was a sports shirt that had tails. And it stands out in my mind as a person thought enough to spend a little money to put a tail on it. And it probably costs a little more that way.
So you've been able to wear it anywhere where it's fit. I mean, it wouldn't really look well at a sports gathering if you're tailing the shirt out there. On the other hand, at a fancy ball, it wouldn't...
I don't mean that you wear the tailor shirt out. It makes it fit better.
Oh, I see.
And I like that. Now, the worst gift I ever got was a sports shirt. And it had a tail on it, but it was...
Can you speed it up a little bit? Because I know it's a sitting between us on stage. With,
and they're holding it.
I know. Let's just wrap it up and say that you are how old? 42, and you're tired here? You go to Anaheim High School, got it? I want to thank you very much for being here with us today. Give our best to your future. And I hope you get a lot of nice things this Christmas. I'm saying that over my shoulder for them as I go back on the stage.
Bob, are you going to talk to some of the folks here? Anyway?
I don't know what it'll be.
How about you, buddy?
Yes.
You had a chance, while the other fellow was cruising his, a chance to think of the worst?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Good. And how about the best one?
What do you want, the worst or the best?
Worst, please. Because the best, I mean, probably would be dull. The worst one is probably would be funny.
What? Funny what?
Funny, I mean, it'd be comical. The worst gift you ever got.
Oh.
You're holding the nose in the control.
Oh, memory course, you mean?
Yes.
How to improve my memory.
Oh, well, I can see that didn't work. Is that right?
What?
Back upstage now to my broadcasting buddy,
right, Ray?
Joe Arion.
I've got it here, Al Schaefer.
Schaefer.
And a real pleasure to be back on the Bob and Ray stage here again. I think a lot of you wonder just what the stage looks like. We refer to it so often with a great curtain behind it. With the big
Bob, glad
to have on it.
I'd like to remind you that we'd like to take just a second to tell you about yours truly, Johnny Dollar, for this upcoming Sunday night. See, Bob?
Yes. Johnny's the ace insurance investigator with the Action Pact expense account. That was
him. Yeah. Let's set the scene for this show Sunday. See, Johnny has just surprised a yegg hard at work on a safe. Now, the equipped world snatches something from a safe cracker's stiff and threatens...
All right, Dollar, stand back. I got enough soup in the flask here to blow us both to kingdom come.
To which Johnny asks, what kind of soup?
Chicken gumbo.
So be sure to hear this or some other dripping drama on yours truly, Johnny Dollar, Sunday night on CBS Radio. Bob keeps wishing it was mock turtle soup the guy had.
And you keep saying you've got to listen to Sunday and find out, right? Your vote for split team.
Right. And now, as a sustaining feature of the Bob and Ray Show, we'll bring you another episode of One Fella's Family. Today's episode, entitled The Smell of Malt, is taken from book VI, Chapter IV, pages 11, 12, and 18. It's mid-morning. As we look in on the family now, we find Father standing close to his cellar door.
Danny, what's that hammering down the cellar?
Jack isn't down there about 3 days.
Went right down there as soon as he got into town, didn't he?
Don't know what in the world he was doing. But you know, I think you've always said you thought you'd like to finish off the cellar.
You don't think suppose he's planning to surprise me with a game room, do you?
That's what I was going to say. He probably wants to surprise you by finishing off the cellar, but it's something you can't do quietly, sir.
Sure. Why don't we call him up and see what he's doing?
All right. Hand the phone.
No, I mean I'll just open the door and yell down cellar. He's sitting.
Jack.
Hello, Jack.
Yeah.
It's me, Father.
Yeah.
Danny.
No,
but we've been rather disturbed.
Get up there. Up and down.
We're not coming down, Jack.
Okay.
It's just the pounding that's been going on down here. It's been rather distracting to us when we wanted to sit here doing crossword puzzles and reading.
I'm just trying to make something here.
You're not planning a surprise for me, are you, Jack?
Yes, I am.
You're planning a surprise, baby. This is it.
That's lovely. Jack, come on up here and have a bite to eat.
Yes, why don't you come
up here? I'll be up in a little while.
Well, you certainly have been busy for 3 days down there, Jack. What could be taking you so long?
Close the door, will you, Gramps? Dry up.
Boy, I don't know what I'll do with you.
You smell wrong. Something like that.
Did notice a rather strong odor, Teddy. Can't remember since I passed in from the door.
Makes me heavy.
One Fellow's Family, brought to you as a sustaining feature on the Bob and Ray Show. Today's episode, entitled The Smell of Mold, was taken from book VI, chapter IV, pages 11, 12, and 18. One Fellow's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messick. This is a Messick production.
Now that I think about it, I got a brass cannon one Christmas, a small one.
Oh, yeah, we're still asking members of the audience about unusual Christmas gifts they received.
Pretty interesting.
Would you place that in the category of the best or the worst you've received?
I don't know where to place it. I have it on the mantle now.
What do you do with it?
Well, I tell you, I've had the thing bored out so it handles grape shot, and I keep it up over the doorway, aiming at my den, so that the kids and people like that won't go in and mess around.
Good
much
as your paper went out, that's true. But on the other hand, it's what you want to do with a thing like that.
Actually, that's probably true. I just wanted to help you out. I knew you were stuck on that problem earlier in the show.
Well, we were, but I think we had some good answers. And it's about time to go, isn't it?
Looks like it, yeah. But we'll have a good word for you in just 10 seconds. Now, here's Bob with a good word.
Produce your own.
Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding, reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott, reminding you to hang by your thumb.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
NKNX, AM and FM, CBS Radio.
Boy, you're ambitious. My wife's been after me to slap a new coat of paint on our garage.
Snooping on down. Oh, that cement is just hit
there. Live at 55. Keep listening to ABC. Keep listening to ABC.